Hey beautiful people, welcome and welcome back to Thrive Out Loud, where we explore topics that matter to you. Happy new year. I know it's been quite a minute. Happy new year to you. And I know if my people are anything to go by, they'll probably be saying this up until March or April, somewhere there. So happy new year. We're starting off afresh now that we are well underway into 2024 and peer pressure. Happy new year, ifitile. Let me just start off by properly welcoming you into the year. And in today's episode, we will be diving into the complex but very essential subject or topic of boundaries. It sometimes gives me chills talking about it, but I realize that we need to talk about it. Today, we'll be delving into this topic that impacts every single aspect of our lives, and I've already said that we will be discussing boundaries. So, I feel like boundaries are these invisible lines or like an invisible fence that you put around yourself, almost like a house. And the purpose of having those boundaries are there to keep you safe. It's like those invisible lines that you can draw around you to define essentially what you can and cannot do, what is acceptable with you, what is unacceptable, and what is it that you are essentially not willing to deal with when it comes to your interaction with other people. Boundaries are very important to maintaining very healthy relationships with the people around you, and they're also there to preserve your well-being and to make sure that there is a mutual respect between you and the people that are around you. So I want us to first start off by understanding why boundaries are important. Without boundaries, I mean, imagine if you build a big beautiful house and there is no fence, there is no wall around it. Essentially, you're inviting any and everyone to walk in and out as they please, to just do as they please, and that may result in you not being safe and people taking advantage of you or of that big beautiful house that you have built for yourself. So it's important for you to set up your boundaries, because without your boundaries or without your security fence, you run the risk of feeling overwhelmed, being taken advantage of, or even worse, sometimes feeling like you are emotionally drained because you keep giving and giving and receiving nothing in return, or rather people taking and giving nothing back to you. Boundaries empower you to protect your time, to protect your energy, your emotions, and they also make sure that you prioritize you as an entity, your own needs, as well as your own values. It's easier said than done, right? I know that setting boundaries may not always be easy, or it may never be easy. It needs a certain level of self-awareness, assertiveness, and you need courage, because this is the part where you stand up for yourself and say, hey, this is my fine line in the sand, and this is how far I go, and I'm not willing to go beyond this point. Obviously, it's not always met with happiness, butterflies, or smiles, because more often than not, the boundaries you set for yourself force other people to change how they treat you and how they relate to you. Many of us may struggle with the fear of disappointing the people that are around us, or sometimes we're scared of being seen as selfish because we are now choosing our boundary points and where we're not willing to go beyond. But it is still very important to recognize that setting boundaries, it's not selfish. It is actually an act of self-care. So you might be wondering, how do we actually start setting boundaries in our lives? If setting boundaries is high up on your list of resolutions for this new year, of this new 2024, you may wonder, how am I actually going to get this done? It starts with self-reflection. I feel like you cannot plan anything and undertake any goals if you haven't really reflected on yourself. And by reflection, it could be the last 12 months, the last month, the last 3 months, the last decade. Essentially, you need to go back within yourself and just ask yourself very important questions. What happened? Why did it happen? What led to it happening? Did I like the turnout? What could I have done differently? What was my part in it? Just by understanding your part in how certain things turned out, then you're able to identify the fine prints or the blueprints to who you are as a person. What do you need? What's important to you? What do you value? And what your limits are. Then you're able to understand, what am I actually comfortable with, and what do I feel like crosses the line for me? If you do not do any self-reflection, it's quite easy to just go along with the vibe and just go with the flow, even when things don't necessarily feel that great for you, because you're scared of losing people around you and you actually don't know what you want. The number one reason why we end up disappointed and self-loathing is because we don't know what we want. We expect the people around us to know what we want and respect what we want, but we actually don't know what we want. And as a result, you cannot communicate things that you don't know. And then people end up disappointing you and taking advantage of you over and over again. So once we have identified our boundaries, or once you've done the self-reflection and you've identified your boundaries, then it's important for you to communicate these boundaries clearly. You need to communicate them very clearly, and you need to make sure that you are assertive about how you communicate your boundaries. It's one thing to establish boundaries for yourself and know that you're not willing to do certain things, but if you don't communicate them with the people around you, how will people know? It's like having an invisible fence around your big, beautiful house. People can't see it. Just because you see it in your imagination doesn't mean people know that it's there. So you still have to take that extra step and communicate your boundaries to the people around you. You will have to be direct, but a big part that people sometimes miss is being respectful and firm at the same time. You can strike a balance between being both firm and assertive and still being respectful, because sometimes you may feel like being firm and assertive and standing up for yourself means that you have to shout at people and, you know, tell them ditabanyana tsa bona and just storm out of there and stop talking to them. But there is a way that you can actually be direct, be respectful, and still be firm and assertive in expressing what you need and where your limits are, where you feel like this is my line and I'm not willing to go beyond this point. You need to always remember, though, that you have the right to advocate for yourself and your well-being. No one can ever defend you as much as you can defend you, because only you know the results or the repercussions of certain things that you allowed, that you really didn't vibe with, or you really didn't like. Okay, so while you're setting your boundaries, while setting boundaries may initially be met with some resistance or some sort of discomfort from people, it's only natural, because you are forcing people to operate in a way that's different from how they've been all along. It's still important for you to stay firm and to stay true to yourself. Over time, people will always change their minds. You know, people will get in line. People will eventually get it and understand. But if you are not standing up for yourself, and if you are being a pushover, then it means you are not sure about the boundaries that you're setting. So just make sure that once your boundaries are in place, the only way people can respect and appreciate your boundaries is if you respect and appreciate your boundaries. For instance, I have a couple of non-negotiables that I feel like it's easy for the next person to feel like I'm being a bit excessive, but I have a bit non-negotiables for myself. For instance, I don't expect a person who is not family, and if it's not an emergency, to be calling me casually after 9 p.m. People might still do it, but the boundary that I've put in place is that I won't be answering to it. I won't answer your call after 9 p.m. With texts and emails as well, depending on what it's about and who's texting, the likelihood is that you won't really get me after 9 p.m. Sometimes 10 p.m. if it's a weekend and I'm staying up a bit later than normal. But naturally, I prefer to disconnect before bed, and that means you won't really be getting hold of me. Another non-negotiable I have is that I pick my son up from school at a certain time every single day. His school is still open for about 3 hours after the time that I've picked him up. And sometimes, you know, maybe you're invited to a late lunch, or someone wants to have coffee, or you have a meeting. But anything that is scheduled at around the time when I need to pick up my son, even though I don't need to pick him up at that time, his school is still open, I'm not late, I'm not running late, and he's still safe, I still prefer to stick to the time that he and I are accustomed to. So I do not accept anything that has to do with the time from the time that I need to pick him up and obviously until the next morning. I'm also very strict about accepting virtual meeting requests or in-person meeting requests that infringe on the time after I've picked up my son from school, because that is my time with him. And as much as he will be there doing his own thing, ignoring me the whole time and showing me toys every 2 seconds, he still has to understand that I picked him up because it's my time with him, and I didn't pick him up so that I could come home and do meetings and essentially be busy with my own thing. At some point, he might be doing his own thing, I might be doing my own thing, I might be reading a book or whatever, but nothing that takes my attention away from him completely or entirely. I hope it makes sense. It feels like I'm going around in circles. But essentially, I've set very strict boundaries in terms of the time that I spend with my family, the time that I do stuff for my family, and the time when I show up for myself. In the morning, between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., do not think you'll be able to reach me, because I'm either in meditation, I'm either in gym, or I'm getting somebody ready for school or work, or I'm preparing lunches and all of that. And that means I do not have the time to essentially divide my energy and do anything else. And unfortunately, if a person calls me at 5 a.m. and I've had a fallout with a friend a couple of months ago because she was calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning and it just didn't make sense. Yes, I was awake at that time and I was already active and up and about, but I didn't appreciate the fact that you thought it's okay to call me at 5 a.m. And the reason for the call wasn't even a thing that was... like, no one was dying. Okay, no one was dying. A line was crossed. And then furthermore, the request as well, I felt like I was being disrespected. And if we are friends and I feel like my boundaries cannot be respected by you, then unfortunately, something has got to give. Another big one is money. Unless it's a very big emergency and we are at a level where our level of trust is established and I know that you won't do me dirty, then maybe, sure, maybe to a certain extent, I'm willing to bend this one. It also depends on who it is. But generally, a person coming out of nowhere, this person doesn't even speak to you regularly, this person doesn't even know how you are, and a person rocking out of nowhere asking you for money. And there's this line people like adding, and I don't know if the thinking behind it is that it makes a person want to give you money. But when you come to me and say you have an emergency and your emergency has something to do with my money, you lost me. You lost me at emergency. You lost me right at emergency, because tell me why I wake up at 4:30 every morning so that I could furnish your emergencies. Tell me why you allowed yourself to have an emergency that has anything to do with my money. Of course, this does not include my husband, does not include my kids, does not include, like, you understand? It is like, emergencies are emergencies, I get it. If he runs into a bit of a sticky situation and needs 10 grand quickly, I get it. He's my man. He'll give it back, probably double it. But just willy-nilly, Jay, you have an emergency and this emergency needs my money. And then the last one is about my resource of energy, right? So sometimes a person does not necessarily want your money or your time directly as such, but they are asking you to do a thing that will essentially consume your energy. And that's another thing I've had to set very strict boundaries about, because I am aware that I'm in contact with my son on a daily basis. And I realize that more than anything, he's an empath. And when my energy is off, it tends to affect him. So I had to really do an audit about who do I spend my time around. How are these people affecting my energy? Are they adding to it or are they removing from it? How do I feel after spending time with said people? And is it beneficial for me? Do we spend time gossiping and just feeding off of each other? Or do we spend time like feeding into each other? Do we spend time actually planting seeds and giving life or speaking life into each other? Because at the end of the day, the energy that I collect around from whoever I was with during the day, I'm going to bring it back into the house. And I just feel like it's not fair to be bringing mismatched energies into the house. And here I have a small child who unfortunately doesn't know what to do to essentially stop all those energies from affecting him. I hope it makes sense. But Generally, it's important to regularly assess and reassess and adjust your boundaries as necessary. Like I said, for me, it depends on who, depends what the situation is, and it depends if really it has an impact on me or not. But as you grow and as you evolve, you'll realize that over time, your boundaries will change, and it's absolutely okay for that to happen. What's important, though, is that you continue to prioritize you as an entity. You, your well-being, your needs, your values, that's on period. In conclusion, boundaries are not barriers. They're not there to keep people out. They're not there to keep people away from you, but they are the foundation of healthy relationships and that mutual respect you'll have with the people that are around you. By setting clear boundaries, you create space for connections that will be authentic, and you create space to respect your own needs and for other people to respect your needs as well, and also to feel empowered. Imagine the sense of empowerment that comes with knowing that the people around you, the people in your circle, know what ticks your bombs, if that's even a word. What makes you tick? What runs with you? What doesn't run with you? Imagine the level of empowerment that comes with that. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found this solo discussion on boundaries insightful and empowering. Remember to tune in next time for more discussions on topics that matter to you. And if you'd like to be a guest on this podcast, this is a new thing that I'll be experimenting with. If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast to explore topics that matter to me and topics that matter to you, I'll be more than happy to hear from you. You can pop me an email and let's take it from there. Until then, adios.